Jan and I had candlelight supper with the juice. No, we didn't have candlelight. Forget that. We just... Yeah. Knife cut through the juice. Okay, Acts 19, verse 13. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to, as we read through the story, help us to get some practical ideas out of it. And this does have some practical ideas in it. Some everyday ideas for the battle for spiritual warfare, and help us to be able to recognize it. And I just pray you'd help us to be more than conquerors, like Paul wrote, in an age where devils are just infesting everything. I pray you'd help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts 19, verse 13. Interesting, it lands on 13. 13 is the devil's number. We have a paragraph mark there. And this is Paul in Ephesus. Now, in verse 13 down to 20, that section, sometimes we read through the book of Acts, especially when we get after 20, it's going to be just like reading the narrative, not a whole lot of doctrinal truths we pull out of there. But this is something very practical. Okay, very practical. It's dealing with spiritual warfare. It's dealing with somebody who is possessed with devils. If you and I could see the spirit world, when we'd be walking through a grocery store, we'd look at that person, and all these flies are buzzing around their head. Okay, and we need to remember that if somebody's got 100 flies buzzing around their head, like who was the Charlie Brown character that had dust around him all the time? Pigpen? Was there Linus? Was there a Linus one? Linus? Okay, who was Pigpen? Was that Pigpen? Was that Winnie the Pooh? Okay, was it Linus that had the cloud always running around, following him around? Okay, so it's like if somebody's at your door, or Pigpen, either one. Linus had the blanket. Oh, we need to get the doctrine here out of this. Okay, so if a guy shows up at your door, let's say it's AW, and we can see the devils that's infested this guy. Okay, 7, 8, 9, 10, 100. Maybe not 1,000. When you get to 1,000 devils in a guy, that's when you get really, really odd behavior like the maniac of Gadara. Okay, but let's say the JW is there and he's got 10 flies buzzing his head, spiritual flies, meaning devils. Are all those flies going to go on with him when he leaves? Or is there a chance of one sticking around? There's a chance of one sticking around. And this is how susceptible we are to devils. Okay, remember in the Bible, devils or spirits are portrayed as birds. So the clean bird pictures the Holy Ghost, so that's the dove. So the unclean birds, the blackbirds, the crows, the buzzards, the vultures, okay, that's depicting unclean spirits. And then small winged things, flies, mosquitoes, are picturing devils. Okay, devils in the Bible are, when somebody has an unclean spirit, one unclean spirit, that can be manifested in 2,000 devils. Okay, and so these things are buzzing around in this person, and that's why you get some really odd behavior. So, and if flies and mosquitoes, if a believer thinks that he can't get bit by a fly or a mosquito, he's kidding himself. And so in Acts 19, it shows somebody exiting, getting unclean spirits exited out of somebody's body. Okay, and that's where the word exorcist comes from. Okay, so Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. This is a King James only word. Okay, and it's still used today. There's a movie years ago called The Exorcist. Okay, and it's about unclean spirits exiting, as in the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, exiting out of Egypt. And this is somebody having power to exit, to command spirits to exit somebody's body. Okay, vagabond Jews took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Okay, adjure, jury. It's a legal decree is what they're doing. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Okay, so this is a chief of the priest, like Catholic priests. Usually when Catholic priests do something like this, it takes them hours and hours and hours because they're calling long distance. They got to get all the connections in. Where if you got a direct line, it's that quick. Okay, and then it says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye? I wonder if the devils would know any of us. Okay, so Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, attacked them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So they were streakers. Okay, so they got out of there by the violence of this individual or the spirits. And then it says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They didn't resell them in their garage sales. They burned their Ouija board. They burned their tea leaf books. They burned the books that they used. And then so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And the news media showed up and demonstrated that this was bigotry and narrow-mindedness of Paul and everybody that was involved that burned the art, the tremendous artistic books that they had. Okay, but notice the driving force of a person that gets involved in that. Verse 19, curious. They're curious about something demonic. Okay, the definitive chapter, now I've taught some of this before, and I'm always kind of amazed and surprised how preachers or churches know so very little about spiritual warfare. Okay, and now I'm not one that we go around and look for a devil on every rock, you know, and things like that. But we do recognize certain things. The definitive chapter in the Bible that describes somebody who is possessed with devils. Okay, that is the Bible phrase, possessed with devils. The common phrase is demon possession. And the reason why that phrase is used is because the New Bibles do not translate the word into devils. They keep it demon. They transliterate it, is what they do. And the reason why they're led to do that by unclean spirits, because the NIV and New American Standard, New King James are inspired by Satan. And so the reason why he inspires these people to do that is because it makes devil, the word devil is an automatic bad connotation, right? Devil, evil. Demon, people in the past used to teach that you can have a good demon and a bad demon. So that doesn't sound as bad. Okay, and so the Bible word is possessed with devils. Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara is a man that is infested with a bunch of devils. The guess is 2,000. because there were 2,000 pigs, hogs, that the devils went in. So that's the only reason why they do that. But whatever a legion is, and who knows what the number is. It's a lot. Bunch. Mary Magdalene. How many did she have? Anybody remember how many Mary Magdalene had? Seven. Okay, and because of her, quote, profession before she got saved, that's where those seven came from. Because when you have a prostitute or whatnot, when they fornicate, that gives an open channel for the devils between her and this individual. It's a spiritual marriage is what it is. And so that's why it crisscrosses through there. Okay, and so that's one way a person opens a door. Okay, now the age-old argument in the church basically is, can a Christian be possessed with devils? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they're in your body or on your shoulder. The influence is still there. I'm of the belief is yes. If we're not filled with the Spirit, there's a void, so an unclean spirit can fill that void. Okay, and so that's from what I believe takes place, and I see in the Bible. Now, if you get talking to people, and if you've ever asked a Christian, have you ever considered possibly that an unclean spirit is hindering you, or a devil is hindering you? Most people will be very offended. Are you saying I'm possessed? Yeah. So, years ago, down at Rensselaer's, a fellow down the street from us, he's an NIV guy. He wanted to ask me questions about the Bible. And so I gave him 3 hours first time, 2 hours the second time. And it was just he and I, so I was very gentle with him. And in that conversation, he said to me, are you telling me that I'm speaking of the devil? That was a shock to him. And I said, well, you said it. I didn't. Thank you. It's not a shock to me. Why? Because any of us can do that. Simon Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the apostles, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say this, one of the prophets. And he said, Peter, who do you say I am? He said, well, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mark 16:16. And then verse 17, 18, 19, 20, around 21, Jesus told the men, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things. And in verse 22, Simon Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. That's not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. And then Jesus looked at this godly man who is close to Jesus, who desires to serve Jesus, who just spoke by the inspiration of God. Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, if it can switch that quick for him, who are we? That's how quick it can shift. Okay, where a man can speak by the inspiration of God in the same at the beginning of the sentence and shift by the inspiration of Satan in the same sentence. That's how quick. Why? Because it's like wind. Words are like wind, and spirits give wings to words. And so this helps all of us to realize we have to keep our armor on and our guard up, and we need to consider the spiritual realm. Why is that always the last thing we consider? You see, the limitation of a medical doctor is how does he view his patient? Only physical, right? And so they don't consider the mental, the emotional, or the spiritual state. What's the limitation of the psychologist? He's only looking at a person mentally. And so they don't consider the spiritual state because a psychologist doesn't want to think about that. But when they're looking in the eyes of an individual, they're looking into their soul. They're seeing something spiritual going on. But they don't know how to recognize that. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what we are up against in our age. Okay, we are up against devils everywhere. Devils are growing. They multiply like flies and mosquitoes. And what do mosquitoes like to hang around? Warm, wet places. Warm, wet places. What is wet or water symbolized in the Bible but the Word of God? And so devils like to hang around where preaching takes place. This is why if a person recognizes what they're dealing with spirits, they can recognize by watching people's eyes what they're up against when you're talking to people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Anybody that's been in church for 5 or 10 years has watched many depart from the faith. Good people just walk away. Okay, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. Now, the one religion that obviously pushes that idea, verse 3, is the Vatican, Catholics. And now they're singing masses directly to Lucifer. I mean, finally they're letting it out. But you see, they don't know who Lucifer is because their Bibles take Lucifer out, put Morning Star in. Now, verse 16, in this environment of the pressure that we're all under spiritually, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Doctrine is what's going to keep us stable. Doctrine. How many preachers even look at the Bible doctrinally? Very, very few. They might look at the Bible instructionally, but they don't look at it doctrinally, and that's why they'll shift from here, and they'll come up with this idea, and they'll come up with this idea, and it's because they're being led by spirits, and their doctrine doesn't give them stability. And so it says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself from what? Verse 1, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's the context. And that's why we need to fanatically be precise in our Bible and stick with the Bible. Don't add a word, don't change a word, don't subtract a word. And when we get a feeling of lethargy, we check ourselves. Okay? And that's a constant, it's a constant battle we have with spiritual warfare. Now, in the spiritual realm, okay, Satan was originally created a cherub. And then that's when he was called Lucifer. Lucifer, the angel of light. And that's probably how he appeared to Eve as a man, an angel of light. And then on the second day of creation, it appears that he was devolved by God, where he was changed from Lucifer to Leviathan, a walking reptilian type that appears as a man still. And then Satan can have children, okay, with women. Okay, an example of that. Look, if you would, in Genesis 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15, virtually any Bible teacher will tell you this is the first prophecy of Jesus. And I don't have a problem with that idea. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, thee, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It, her seed, bruises the head of the serpent. Her seed, doctrinally, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all Bible teachers, or not all, but many Bible teachers will tell you, the ones that at least hold to the Bible, or the TR, the received text, or they just look at the Bible instruction, will tell you Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. None of them that I've ever heard will tell you, what about the other seed? They don't mention them. The serpent has a seed. Doctrinally, that's Judas Iscariot, a son of Satan, Rosemary's baby, the mystery Oman, a counterfeit virgin birth. Okay, they don't even mention her. Satan can have children, can be married. What kind of a kid comes from his product? Weird. Okay, America was getting conditioned by this in 1960 with what sitcom? A witch marries a mortal. Bewitched. A witch marries a mortal, and then their child is a witch. That was starting to condition Americans. And now they're not hiding any of it. Okay, now, fallen angels are, in their natural state, they're spirits. When they take on flesh, I don't fully understand it, somehow they get blood, drink blood. I don't know how everything gets told. You get into the twilight zone and all this stuff. But somehow when they lose or step out of their first estate, Jude verse 7, their first estate is a spirit world. They take on flesh, then they marry women, Genesis chapter 6, and their children are giants. Okay, large beings. And these giants become mighty men of renown, and so they become political figureheads. Wealthy international leaders, governing leaders. That's Genesis chapter 6. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. Now, devils, okay, fallen angels are very intelligent beings, obviously. When they're coming from heaven down here, very intelligent. Okay, and that gets into studying the blues and the grays, you know, of all this UFO stuff. Now, devils are very dumb beings, very stupid, small, winged, okay, and these are just something that does the bidding of the intelligent beings, okay, and this is where a person can be infested. Now, Satan himself can only be in one place at one time. And usually he will have certain ceremonies with women that want to marry him. Okay, it's a weird situation. Okay, and Jack Chick has a book of a lady that did marry Satan. Okay, and so this is getting on the dark side. Now this is the side that Bill Sneblin was on for many years. But Bill Sneblin amazingly thought he was getting close to God. This is how subtle Satan is. Bill and Sharon were Ghostbusters before it became a movie. Meaning they would go to people's houses who had evil spirits and they would kick out the bad spirits and keep the good ones. That's what Bill and Sharon did. That's what they did back in the 70s. And Bill told me about a time where he and Sharon was working on this girl who was a teenager who was infested. And they were trying to get rid of the bad spirits. And he said, we worked on her for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Couldn't get anything out. And she was just doing all sorts of gyrations, all weird stuff. And he walked out frustrated, didn't know what to do, walked out of the room. And Sharon walked over to the girl, looked her in the eye, said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. And boom, she got cleaned up that quick. And Sharon was a witch. But she was a Christian witch. She had Jesus Christ in her body. As a child, she got saved as a young child. But then all that kind of disappeared, meaning she put the Lord in a back seat to live with Bill Sneblin and go through his mess. And when he came back in a room, he saw the girl was all fixed up. He said, what did you do? And she said, I'm not telling you. And then what led Bill to Christ is a couple witches gave him a chick publication in joke, as a joke. Get a laugh out of this. He threw it in the drawer and about 6 months later pulled it out and read it and then he got saved. And so Bill's book on the blood on the doorpost is probably the best spiritual warfare information that we're going to find. Okay? And it's not something that we go around looking for it. Okay? We're not going to put up a shingle deliverance. Okay? Up in Highland, years ago, there's a place called Hedwich Baptist Church. Anybody remember that? Anybody know about that place? They put up their shingle that we get rid of devils. And when people put up a shingle and they focus on that, I tell you what, they're infested big time. And they had some weird stuff going on there. What we should do is we put on the whole armor of God and we proclaim the gospel or whatever the truth is to somebody, depending on what the subject is. And then we observe their eyes. And their eyes, you often can see a devil manifest itself through their eyes. Okay, where their eyes will glass over, where they get very passive, or they might get angry. Now, if they get angry, that's a good sign, because at least the person cares. But that spirit is welling up that anger. Okay, if they get passive, that's a bad sign. Passivity is the greatest evidence of demon, of being possessed by devils or demon possession, what common people call it, is because remember in Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara, it says that no man could bind him and no man could tame him. You can't love him to Christ. You can't scare him to Christ. They're passive. And that's what you see in the streets more than anything. People walk by, they won't get mad, they won't cry, they won't laugh. Their emotions are just goofy. And that's because they're infested. And that's put a blindness over their eyes. And they're dull of hearing, it says in the Bible. And this is what's called the spirit of slumber. Now I watched this, I noticed this at Hiles Anderson or any Christian institution where they have a lot of chapel preaching, where they have a lot of services. I didn't know why this happened, but I know a lot of those guys when I was in school, they for some reason, those guys, the school, for some reason, thought it was spiritual not to sleep much. So guys were working in the nights, they were getting 4 hours of sleep. Well, they said they were getting 4 hours of sleep a night, but I watched a lot of them get several hours of sleep in class. And this one guy, he was, then you discover different type of sleepers in class. You have a zombie sleeper where he can look at the teacher with his eyes open and he is asleep. He is out. Then you have the drooler, where he'll have his arm on it like this and then also drip, 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 drip. Okay, and then you have the scribbler. I watched this one guy's notes. He was a scribbler, sleeper. I mean, he'd be writing, go to sleep, pen go down the page. He'd be writing, go to sleep, pen go down the page. I mean, his page was nothing but scratches all the way down, this guy. Okay, but I thought it was very odd to me that some of those guys, okay, would fall asleep, and I would credit it first off, hey, they're tired. Man, they don't sleep enough. They need to sleep at night. Okay, or when they can get a good chance. But sometimes I'd observe those guys, some of those guys, where they'd be wide awake during songs, during announcements. And as soon as the speaker would say, open your Bible, as soon as he would say that, they'd read a passage and that guy would be out. That is a spirit of slumber. Okay, where, I mean, it was just phenomenal how that I would notice that and observe that. Okay, and, you know, if a person is tired, that's different. Okay, but a spirit of slumber where a person will fall asleep at the most vital time of something they need in the message, and they don't even hear it. Now, they don't hear it, but fortunately it does get in their subconscious. And the Spirit of God is so powerful is He could take that subconscious and pull it out. But the spirit of slumber is found in Romans chapter 11. That is what's hit America. the spirit of slumber. You could talk to them till you're blue in the face, and it's like talking to a brick wall. And so this is something that happens to a society when it's going down that path of judgment. And the term I call it in the streets is Bible-phobic, bibliophobia. They call us homophobics. I say, okay, yes, I'll take that with a badge of honor. I was born this way. But you're Bible-phobic. You don't want to hear what the Bible's got to say. And you're going to put your hands on your ears. Why? Spirit of slumber. Okay, and so what can you and I do to help avoid some of these things? Okay, one way, there are several ways to open these doorways. Okay, in this case, it was obvious, verse 19, the doorway was open because they were curious. They was curious and they played the Ouija board. Ouija. Oui, yes in French, ja in German, yes, that's a yes board. The first being in the Bible to say yes is the devil. Okay, so what a person does is if they are curious, do a seance. I remember in fourth grade at center school, some kids got in the locker room when it was dark down, and they did a seance. I thought, that's ding-dongs. Why? They were just goofing off. At Rensselaer, there's some kids that will testify to the fact if you turn the lights off and go into this certain bathroom and you look in the mirror, a light will manifest itself through the mirror. There's a place down in Rensselaer, north of town. It's called Moody. Have you ever done it, Joe? Did you experience anything? Some people will claim that some light comes up, right, on that certain street, and it's just kind of weird. It's north of town someplace. There's a family down in Rensselaer that told me that something was in their house and that it would actually indent their skin. And they thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was kind of weird. Okay, and what happened is they've opened up something. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 4, is there such a thing as a haunted house? The devil can take up residence in a place. In certain places, you can actually feel Vatican City, major infested. New Orleans, major infested. Jan and I was taking some kids down a youth conference down in Texas years ago, and we were traveling down I-25 in Colorado, south of Colorado Springs, where you got Colorado Springs, Pueblo, and at the bottom, Trinidad. As I'm driving a bus through Trinidad, I just, something's weird about this area. I just sensed it. And man, we just kept on going, and then I discovered Trinidad at that time was the sex change capital of the world, where they did on the average 3 per week, and a Catholic priest and nun was a psychology to help them as they changed their, from over. And weird. Colorado Springs was majorly in the tough. It's a very difficult place to try to pastor church, Colorado Springs, because Manitou Springs is right by it. And it's known that that's the largest Satanist church in America. Underground, all underground. Very strange. Okay, can the devil take up residence in a place? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, New Testament doctrine. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now, I read both verses because it's one sentence. What's one way a believer can open a door for Satan? Be angry for more than 12 hours. It says, let not your sun go down upon your wrath. If you had a fuss at 6 in the morning, if you don't get over by 6 at night, you've just opened it up. And people who are constantly angry, always angry, spirits. It's spirits. So verse 26, 27, yes, they can take up residence in a place. Okay, and let's see, another one I was thinking of, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. All this is, you know, Acts 19 about exorcism. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgave also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness gives Satan an unfair advantage over, and he don't need an advantage over us. So anger, Ephesians, unforgiveness, curious about these things, 1 Corinthians 6, fornication, that entails it. And there are many things that entail it. But yet we have great promises of the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, we have the whole armor of God. Great promise. And it's not something that you and I look for, and it's not something that's mystical. Anybody who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the power of God to boot out all this stuff in our lives. I kick my own out. I look in the mirror and say, you unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. And this is what Bill Sneblin has taught Jan and I, where you might lead a person through certain prayers, but the power is in the name of Jesus Christ. That name is phenomenal, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, people that, shall we say, specialize in this, what they're doing is they're deceptively giving credit to the unclean spirits, where we should give credit to Jesus Christ and not glorify it, not talk to it, just pray it, clear it, get it done, over with, it's over. It's that quick. Parents of small children, if your children have very, very extreme bad dreams at night, pray over them. Put your hands on their head and cleanse them with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Look at some of the toys they have, some of the dolls they have, some of the items, and be very discerning about these things and boot the stuff out. Get it out of the house, because they're like, sometimes they can be magnets. That's one thing I, you know, one of the joys I had with our kids, we kind of did every winter, is we'd sleep by the fireplace. And then I'd stalk it through the night. But I'd wake up through the night and I'd look over at them kids and say, man, they look so peaceful. And a great joy, you know, of course, when they're going to sleep, I'm pulling on their ear, pulling on their nose, you know, doing all sorts of fun stuff with it. I mean, great memories, sleeping by the fireplace. Now I'm doing it with my grandkids. Tuesday night, had all four of them in the living room. You know, Kira, Vivi, you know, and then Joab's up here, and I'd reach over there and pull his ear, you know, tweak his nose or something like that. But in the middle of the night, when I get up, you know, stock their fireplace, I'll put my hands over in their heads, and I'll cleanse them with the shed blood of Christ. They say, Lord, please let them get saved as early as they can in their life, through the nighttime, and pray over them. And that's a tremendous thing that helps them, because God works on us through the night, according to Job 32:33. Why? Because we don't have these distractions. But who else works on us at night? Some of the bad dreams that we get at night, Satan's working too. And so we have a great, great power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have great power in the Word of God that we have here. And in Acts 19, it shows us that even though these guys were wrong, even though they were wrong, there was still power in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's the power of Jesus Christ, power of this blessed book. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments when we come?